Like Victoria Day just passed, and these beautiful people, and we started this canoe journey down the Fraser River, and they called it the Queen's Promise. Apparently, Queen Victoria had promised that 25% of what was taken from the indigenous peoples in Canada would be returned to them. So they're calling it 25-cent day. So I paddled with them to make a statement, to remind people of what was taken. Apparently, reminding them doesn't motivate people to return it. You know, to repair what must be repaired. Our spiritual leaders and practices were outlawed. Objects of spiritual value are taken or destroyed. And our hereditary leadership, our government system, was taken or outlawed and replaced with a Canadian government system called the Indian Act, with relatively powerless band councils. I know that's true because I was one of them. I was the chief counselor of my community. And of course, the reason why I'm even talking about reconciliation today is the res schools, the residential schools, which were brought about to eliminate us as a distinct people. Some people say there must be people there that wanted to educate you. There were, but the political will was to eliminate us. The one that started this whole business or pushed it was Duncan Campbell Scott. He said the policy is to continue until there is not a single Indian in Canada. That's a powerful statement. And everybody would follow this policy. It's a policy, is a plan of action on how to deal with a problem, and we're identified as a problem. For over 100 years, the central goal of Canada was to eliminate our governments, ignore our rights, terminate treaties, to use assimilation to cause our people to cease to exist as legal, social, cultural, religious, and racial entities in Canada. The territories were seized and we were forcibly put on reservations where our movement at the beginning was restricted. That's what I read in a TRC report. That's what it was about. So, of course, I was aware of this potlatch law, reservations, before this started happening because of my... Our leaders were talking about the declaration, about what happened, and trying to find a way to get things right. I remember one of my elders were saying, we would go meet with the government. He says, I remember our leaders would be going and someone would go from house to collect resources so they could travel to Victoria. They were doing their best. They were doing their best. And I look at it now, it wasn't about repairing a relationship. More like creating a relationship. Over the years, I started to see what happened. And I realized our trauma, my trauma. And I talk about the 6 hours, about how racism has cut me, has impacted my life, how religion has cut me, has impacted my life, has made, at the beginning, question my own ways, question my our own spiritual practices, how the reservation has impacted my life, like a minimum security prison. One of the elders said, that's what it is, Jerry, it's a minimum security prison. How the residential schools messed me up about myself, about the RCMP. Where I'd rather ignore crime than call them because I don't trust them. About the removal of children through the 60 scoop. You know, I felt all of those directly and indirectly, that trauma. They were crimes against humanity. And government and churches became liable. So that's why the TRCA came about. So since 1995, I guess you could say in the background of Jerry's mind, reconciliation. And I think about the meaning of the word, to repair a relationship. Of course, I would say, what relationship? And I started to realize that there were Canadians that thought the same way. I didn't break the relationship personally. I didn't start the residential schools. You know, so there were some people like me, we were thinking the same way. Why? Then I realized that all of the children are relying on us adults to do the right thing. If we spiral down to violent conflict, it's going to make us all behind. So today I consider myself lucky because I'm basically healthy. I'm doing good. I can walk. I have a sound mind, body, and spirit. I started to follow the personal conduct teachings passed down by elders, how to behave in public, how to behave inside of myself. I had to reconcile with Jerry, forgive Jerry, repair my relationship with Jerry because I lost it for 14 years. So I made this commitment to change, to heal, for the betterment of my life, for Jerry's life. That's what it was about. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being angry, being afraid, being depressed. So I started developing a wellness way of life. You've heard me say wellness is an active pursuit of finding a way to correct it when your mind is confused or it's filled with anger or fear or depression, to go out and look for a way to resolve that so that you can be original again and live in the present. To look for help when my body's hurting, when something's going wrong with my body, and also to be careful what I put in my body. To reconcile with my body and apologize to my body for all the harm I've done to my body personally. Not being careful about what I put into this body. Think of all the drugs I've done and the booze I drank. I apologize to my body. I'm sorry. And my spirit. Because it's the truth. You know, in residential school and after I left, and, you know, for 14 years, my life was hateful to me. I didn't really want to live. Really. I was functioning. But I had this in my own skin. I didn't have this feeling of I want to live. I want to be successful. And I want to be kind. I was kind. I had some success, you know, but the part about being fully participant in life was missing. So on that journey of healing, of doing what I could to make Jerry original again before harm that was done to his mind, his body, and his spirit. That's what I started to do, actively looking for them. You know, I remember I went on juice fasts, cultural fasts. I trained my body. I looked for teachers, went to ceremonies, you know, to change and work at making this change permanent. That's my road to reconciliation. In that process, I learned to forget about Jerry and start to think about the people, think about Mother Earth. I found consistent ways of grounding myself when I get triggered and from my old traumas or the historical traumas about the theft of land, about the theft of children, all of those truths that happened. I'd find ways to ground myself. Because I would see things on Twitter, on Instagram, in the newspapers, on TV that would constantly remind me of what we're facing. And I would hear both sides, negative and positive statements about what happened and what to do. So, that forced me to look at myself and say, okay, Jerry, what are you going to do? Become a warrior for the people, for the land. Now, I have this incredible will to live, to be successful, day in and day out, and to be kind and compassionate with other human beings that I meet face to face. And I'm reminded of my teacher telling me, one of my teachers, I'm so blessed I have many teachers, tell me, Jerry, you by yourself cannot change society, but what you can change is yourself. So that's what I do. When I see something in society at large, in the world, that's so upsetting, I realize I cannot change that, but I must change myself so I'll be functional and I will continue to contribute to goodness. That's what I'm about now. To accept I have no control over people that I have control over, Jerry. that all meaningful change in Jerry's life happens from within. So that's what I set out to do. I reconciled with Jerry. Reconciling with Canada? You know, I think that's probably the toughest thing, and I've accepted it's not going to happen in my lifetime. You know, the principle of repair what's been needs to be repaired, return what needs to be returned. You know, this to keep myself in a good way. Because I've read articles and I've heard people say that stress is like AIDS. If you're stressed out all the time, you're going to open yourself up to cancer, to heart disease, to all of the sicknesses that happen, the mental health issues that happen. If you just keep that inside of you, let it grow inside of me. I'm so glad I found out that I must free myself. That I must, soon as it comes up in me, to find a way to ground myself, to free myself by talking to others, going to a ceremony, sitting down with the hand drum and singing my heart out, you know, going for a walk, doing something, rather than sit there and stew. I do not want my body to get cancer or any of the sicknesses. I was reading this article on mental health and wellness. And they had done studies on people that were negatively angry, not having a way to get rid of it. They're saying that it opens the door to cancer, to depression. So I don't want to go there. So I've been following this, these words that come through the air to me from my friend. You cannot say goodbye to your problems till you say hello to them. So I've been following that path since I heard those words. Oh, some of those problems are hard to say hello to. You'd rather just wish they go away. I don't want to think about you. And I have some of those in my head and my being. But my intention is to say hello to them. So I start saying to myself, I am here to take action to improve my situation. You know, and to admit that addictions in my life created strong negative emotions that I had to free myself from because they developed habits inside of me, interpersonal relationship habits, because I did not face what caused me pain and suffering. I have suffered and shared it with others. As a result, my life became unbalanced and I spent time being aggressive or passive. Yeah, I realize we're not alone. Many have internalized negative emotions about our people, such as those words that come through the air, and I heard them as a child, that lazy Indian, that crazy Indian, drunken Indian. So I put it in my mind, I'm going to change the way I think of myself and my life. Accept responsibility for my body by loving and caring for myself. Learn to maintain and strengthen my spirit consistently. List my feelings in a positive way. You know, to uplift my spirit and find joy and beauty in life. Today I commit myself to taking action to improve my situation. I will practice and use the gift of listening. The highest form of respect to give another human being is to listen to them with everything you got. I was taught that, and I believe that. The gift of communication, of course, is which listening and speaking, or expressing yourself through music or art. There's many ways to communicate with the world. The gift of affection, you know, that exchange of goodness, that's so beautiful. The gift of generosity. Oh, and I just thank all of those elders and knowledge keepers that were generous with me, taught me how to build a sweat lodge and medicines to use, you know, how to do music, you know, ceremony and ritual. All of those ones. So I too must be generous. My guidelines to live by today are to accept my original self, not try to be anybody else, but just to know who I am. To set realistic goals. I set goals, sometimes it's too much, and then I beat myself up because I didn't do it. So be realistic and say, I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. I want to reach out for help, as well as help others. Oh, it took me a long time to learn how to reach for help, to ask for help. I guess the biggest one was to forgive myself. And also to forgive those that hurt me. You know, that forgive part was tough for me. Then when I learned that it was to let go, I was happy to forgive the government of Canada, the residential schools, racists, all of that. I'm going to let you go. I'm not carrying you anymore. I don't own that. You, that's you. You keep that. I'm not carrying it anymore. Lighten my load, believe me. With the help of the brothers and sisters, you know, that are on this road, I shall achieve a good quality of life. By changing myself to be the best of my, to be the best of my ability, and live according to the laws of our ancestors. They had beautiful laws. They had brilliant laws. They had laws that would teach about inclusivity, that would discourage greed, personal greed. I decided to stop hurting and to start living. That's been my goal. So this is my, you know, there'll be more podcasts coming, but this has been the conclusion of Indigenous Is. And for me to be Indigenous, I needed to learn about repairing relationships, but more importantly, forming relationships. You know, and I think about those teachings of giving away the first kill. First hat, first drum, whatever's first, you give it away. And don't give it to family, you give it to another family, so you form a relationship with them. That's a beautiful teaching. Forming relationships. Probably more important than repairing relationships, in order to form those relationships and to maintain them. Because we all share the space. I can form relationships with people in Manitoba or when I go back to BC in BC. And I do that. So that's been my road. I rejected reconciliation when I first heard it. I accepted today that our people were great reconciliators. You know, I don't know if reconciliator is a word, but I had seen them. And, you know, what we thought would hurt people's feelings was when we, something sacred would fall off our regalia when we're doing ceremony. Oh, they'd stop it and they'd pick it up and they would ask for forgiveness from the people for me making a mistake. You know, we would reconcile. We would repair that relationship. They'd have shame feasts and they'd say, and they would give and give and give to the victim of the harm until they said, that's enough to speak about this again. That's a beautiful way. Like my chief said, we defended our land at the cost of our blood. And that was about resources. We didn't want anybody to go hungry in our clan, our tribe. People would come and take it, we'd defend it. So I get that. And we have reconciled with our traditional enemies. Not all of us, you know, but there's been moves by leadership to do that. So that's been part of my struggle, I guess, is negative leadership. Leaders that say, let's do this, and people say, okay, it's not right. It's wrong. It's causing harm. But I must reconcile with that and carry on with my guidelines, how I want to live, what I want to do, who I want to support. So that's my road. That's my path. That's what I'm going to follow. So I'm looking forward to upcoming podcasts. We're exploring different topics and different ways, different panels, different things to do. And I'm looking forward to it because it's all about inspiration, motivation for healing and wellness. And that's what my road has been to reconciliation. And as surprising enough as reconciling with Jerry. And teaching me to form relationships and the power in that. That saying, we can do what I can't do, is so true. So I'd just like to thank you for listening to this podcast and those of you that listen to it. And hopefully it has caused you something to inspire you about yourself. And I'd like to thank my young crew. They remind me I'm lucky to have them. It's so true. Because they get the teachings in the air. They get it out there. So I'm going to sign off now and, give thanksgiving for all the goodness I've had in my life and the goodness that's yet to come. Bye-bye.
If you're a Canadian Indigenous student considering many life choices about your future, Inspire can help. If you need ideas about possible education or career path options specifically for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit folks like you, join Inspire's mentorship program, Rivers to Success. It's free to register, and you'll get plenty of up-to-the-minute information about university, college, and vocational trade schools. Most importantly, again, it's free. It's free, it's free, it's free. It's online, and we have monthly events with prizes. Discover the many potential job and study opportunities that are waiting for you across Turtle Island. Register online now at rivers2success.ca. Again, that's rivers2success.ca.